Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:07 p.m. and that is Pacific Summer Time, and today is May 1st. Well, European markets, a number of European markets were shut today because of the Labor Day holiday, and it was interesting that we had quite a lot of movement in the currency markets, and potentially that was taking advantage of the fact that the European markets were perhaps a little bit quieter than they might otherwise have been. But the dollar index is pushing back up above the trend mean. This has been a pretty impressive bounce over the last 2 weeks, and this is the first time it's traded back above the trend mean really since around this time last year. So now the question is, how much further can this rally go? And it's particularly interesting when we look at, for example, the euro versus the dollar. The euro has pulled back all the way to $1.20 and is right now testing the region of the trend mean. In fact, it closed just below the 120 area in here today. Now, if this is going to remain a reasonably consistent advance, and it has been the picture of a consistent uptrend since at least the beginning of 2017, then this is where the euro is going to have to find support. We can see very clearly that there was a well-defined base. We had a very clear breakout. We had a first step above the base. We had a break up out of that first step, and we're in and so far this range has been relatively similar sized in terms of amplitude compared to that one which was put in and in the latter half of 2017. So this is still a reasonably consistent advance, but if it is going to remain so, this is exactly where the euro needs to be bouncing. And this is a pretty broad-based rally by the dollar. So when we look at, for example, the pound, well, there are some additional uncertainties with regard to the pound, and it has pulled back violently. So the pound has now broken its progression of higher reaction lows versus the dollar, and that progression has been ongoing since the end of 2016. It is testing the region of the trend mean. Again, if it is going to demonstrate a return to demand dominance, then this is where that is going to need to happen. Otherwise, we're going to be into a much choppier environment, and that's a best case scenario. Worst case scenario is that the more enthusiastic opinion that has been developing with regard to the pound over the course of the last 18 months is over. And what that would raise the prospect of is a much harder Brexit. And when we look at how is the pound doing versus the euro, well, it failed to sustain the move above 114, and it is now testing the region of the trend mean. If this is going to be a successful breakout, then it needs to bounce from this area. If it fails again at this area, then that would represent a failed upside break, and it would greatly increase the potential that we would go right back down and test the lower side of the range, which would be at least another 2 cents on the downside for the pound. But perhaps more important than that, it would be that it has confirmed resistance in the region of the trend mean, and there would then there would be knock-on potential for additional downside. So we are at a rather critical juncture for a number of currency pairs, and I think that that's rather interesting. Well, when we know that the dollar has been rallying pretty impressively, gold prices have been pulling back in a very similar manner, but they're right at the lower side of their developing 4-month range, and this also approximates the region of the trend mean. So if my supposition has been correct, that this is a consolidation prior to a break on the upside, then this is about where one would anticipate that support should start to be coming back in. When we look at the price over the course of the last 18 months, it has held this progression of higher reaction lows, and we know that gold and the precious metals generally are susceptible to a rather acute bouts of volatility. It is just because it is now in the region of the trend mean does not necessarily mean that it is going to find support just at this particular place, but rather the progression of higher reaction lows, and the most recent of those was back in December, and it was approximately $60 lower than where the price is trading at right now, and that cannot be ruled out that we could see a retest of that particular level before we get a bounce. So this is a rather uncertain environment for the gold price, and I think a lot is going to depend on exactly what is happening with the dollar, and of course, because gold is a monetary metal. What was interesting was that the gold miners were in positive territory in here today, and they are beginning to demonstrate some support coming back in around that $22 level. But it has been a supremely inert environment over the course of the last year, which is really out of character with the complexion of the market over the course of the last decade. So eventually, this is likely to result in a breakout, and when that breakout occurs, it is going well, it is very likely to be rather emphatic. But when you have a range like this, I think the most likely scenario is that it breaks on the upside, but we cannot rule out the possibility that it breaks on the downside. So what that I think a lot of people will be looking at that $20 area as a key level that support should be found at. Then if we look at the oil price, well, the strength of the dollar over the last few weeks has done little to deter interest in the crude oil, but it was down over a dollar in here today as it pulls back and pauses in the region of that $75 area. Well, this is not the first time that we've seen a pullback of approximately $1.40, and when we look at it on a weekly basis, we can see that there is a rather wide overextension relative to the trend mean, which is approximately $9 following the $1.40 pullback we've seen today. So it's not beyond the bounds of possibility that we get some additional consolidation in the region of that psychological $75 area, but really a sustained move below the trend mean would be required to question overall potential for additional upside. The major oil producers are responding to the somewhat higher price for oil, and BP broke out to new 7-year highs in here today. It has been rallying in a pretty impressive manner over the course of the last 4 weeks, and this is a new recovery high. Then Royal Dutch Shell is a majority natural gas producer, but it is also right in the region of its highs, and this has certainly not been the most consistent of trends. But the reality is that it is right in the region of its peak, and so far it is holding it. Now, it is a little bit overbought in the short term, so it's not it wouldn't be overly surprising if we get some consolidation, but as long as it is holding the low that we saw in the region of that 2250 area, I think people are going to be reasonably sanguine about it. And it has been a rather interesting environment generally for the commodity complex, and not least because the dollar has been firm. The cocoa price has continued to rally, and what we're beginning to see early signs of is that coffee prices may be in starting to catch a bid in here. The Arabica price was up about 2 cents in here today, but it is now just above the trend mean and challenging the progression of lower rally highs evident since that peak back in 2016. And the Robusta coffee price is perhaps doing somewhat better, and it is right now in the region of the trend mean. It has got a clearer base formation characteristic to it. Then lumber prices were limit up again in here today, and this continues to represent really quite incredible accelerating uptrend, and it really would now require a. We can see, for example, that there have been three relatively similar sized consolidations over the course of the last year, and a pullback of larger than approximately $50 would be required to question the consistency of the overall advance, despite the fact that it really is very steep indeed. We also know, of course, that when it eventually does pull back, it's probably going to do so in a very violent manner. That the history of lumber prices is that they tend to be very cyclical. So this is a very impressive uptrend. When it ends, the I think a lot of people would be looking at that $400 area as a potential area of longer term support. And then when we look at the grains, well, what I found interesting is that ETFs for some of the agriculturals, they don't tend to perform very well because of the contangos. But generally speaking, when they do tend to rally, they rally in a rather emphatic manner. And the ETFS grains in the UK, which is dollar denominated, has been trending lower since 2012. Well, it is now just about demonstrating support in the region of the trend mean, and it was in additional positive territory in here today. So this is a pretty depressed sector overall. Cotton prices are also at the upper side of their base formation. Soybeans, which obviously would be within the catch-all of that grains ETF, have been firming from above the 1,000 cent level. Now, when we look at the continuous commodity index, it's very easy to get, I think, focused on the energy sector and what's happening with aluminium and the sanctions on Russia. But what we're seeing increasing evidence of is that within the grains and beans and the agriculturals generally, that there's increasing evidence of return to demand dominance. And that doesn't have a lot to do with the political environment, but rather that we have a demand dominated environment. So if that then I think also could potentially start to feed through into inflationary pressures. And when we look at the 10-year treasury yield, it's at 2.97%. The fact that you have had a stronger dollar, that the stock market has been pulling back over the course of the last few weeks, has not translated into a meaningful rally in bond prices. Rather, this looks like nothing more than a short-term consolidation in the region of that 3% level. And I think if in the absence of clear downward dynamics, I think that would have to remain our broad conclusion. And it was certainly a day of two halves in the stock markets in here today. The majority of indices were in mildly negative territory, and the Dow Jones was down over 250 points at one point. But they have recouped their losses. Apple will be reporting earnings in about 40 minutes' time. But generally speaking, the Nasdaq continues to hold a progression of higher reaction lows. It has bounced from the region of the trend mean now on three occasions, and the technology sector continues to demonstrate support. The Dow Jones was looking susceptible to additional weakness yesterday, and it has recouped almost its entire decline in here today. But when, for example, we look at some of the previous leaders like Boeing, then they do look susceptible to additional pause and consolidation, considering just how quickly they had risen in the latter part of last year and the first part of this year. But then I also tend to look at things like Procter and Gamble, which has got an accelerating downtrend over the course of the last 4 months, and is coming back down towards an area of previous resistance. When we look at the yield on a Dividend Aristocrat like that, it's at 3.87%, and on previous occasions when it's got to 3.5%, it's found support. So this is the kind of environment where we might anticipate that some support might start to come back in. When we look at the luxury goods sector, they clearly have pricing power, and that is being demonstrated in the outperformance of their shares. There is a high degree of commonality in the cosmetic sector and indeed in the luxury goods sector, and that I think is a testament to the fact that they do have pricing power. But the other sector that has got pricing power are those kinds of companies that have adopted subscription business models. Amazon has raised the price of the Prime membership from $99 to $120, and so far there doesn't seem to be any broad revolt against that. Microsoft has really transitioned from a pay-as-you-go to a subscription model, and that has also translated into a rather consistent environment. Cisco Systems is a pretty similar environment, that it has adopted a subscription model, and the share has become progressively more consistent since it did that. And again, subscription business models give these kinds of companies a pricing power that they might not otherwise have had. And I think that that is where we're likely to go. Now, I posted a number of charts yesterday, and there was a question that was put in the comments section of that piece that I wrote yesterday, and I'll answer it tomorrow. But one thing that I wanted to I think to highlight is sometimes I talk about nominal prices being flattered by inflation. It's in much the same way that we see, for example, when the currency goes when the euro is weak, then European stock markets go up. The nominal price of the index is flattered by the weakness of the currency. In much the same way, if inflationary pressures rise, then the nominal price of the index, whatever the index is likely to be, is likely to rise because inflation is reflected in the stock prices. But on a I think a purchasing power basis, what you're in fact seeing is that your whatever currency you might be buying is in fact depreciating in value, and it is just requires more of them to buy the same number of stocks. So that I think is what I mean by flattering in terms of the inflation and nominal prices rather than real prices. Then when we look around the world, the Chinese market is now shut for Golden Week. The Indian market, it was, I think, is it was also shut today. But when we look at the banking sector, it's offered a lead indicator over the course of the last few years, and it has bounced from the region of the trend mean. Then, when we take a look at, for example, an ASEAN ETF or just an ASEAN index, where that is populated by high growth economies. They did very well in 2017. They've been in a process of mean reversion for most of this year, and but they are more or less finding support in the region of their respective trend mean. What I find, and I think it is worth highlighting, that subscribers have been writing in expressing, I think, anxiety. And that's perhaps not that unusual, considering that some of the broad stock market indices have been pulling back, and that we've had seen the largest pullbacks I over the course of the last few years. It's been my view that this looks like a medium-term correction, and that is likely to last for anything from 6 to 18 months. But it doesn't look like the top. And I might have to change that designation at some point over the next few years, depending on whether we get a recession or not. But there's no sign that we're going to get a recession imminently. There was an article by Barry Ritholtz yesterday talking about the difference between a flattening yield curve and an inverted yield curve. The flattening yield curve is generally consistent with a bullish environment, that central banks don't generally raise interest rates unless they're reasonably confident about the economic expansion. We get an inverted yield curve, generally speaking, when they've raised interest rates too much. Well, we're not there yet, and what that suggests is that we're still in a reasonably benign environment. When we look at the high yield spreads, well, they have to be rising for at least 6 months before they start representing a headwind, but they are simply going sideways right now. Unemployment is still very low. In fact, what there was an article on the Wall Street Journal today that small towns all over America are paying people to move there because they need people to fill jobs. Well, what that also tells us is that the economy is performing at capacity. And what that also suggests is that if people if towns are paying people to move there, the other way to encourage people to move to places is to offer them higher wages. So that is directly inflationary, and it will eventually contribute to inflationary pressures. There is still this raging argument between those of us who think that that will contribute to inflationary pressures and some people in the bond markets who think that interest rates can't go up because of the extraordinary quantity of debt that remains outstanding, and that the servicing costs would get completely unmanageable if interest rates go up a lot. And then there is certainly some weight to that. So how do we come up with some how can we thread the needle between those two different arguments? Well, there is an easy answer, and it is that inflationary pressures help to pay down the debt, that economic growth picks up, and that then helps to transform the debt to GDP ratios, that we have reform, our technological innovation helps to really improve the cost of healthcare, which is a rather profound challenge when you've got such large numbers of people that are entering the twilight years of their lives. So it isn't beyond the bounds of possibility that we get inflationary pressures and that debt servicing costs do rise, and that over the course of a decade and more, that becomes a manageable situation. There is, of course, the possibility that we have changes to the electoral weightings, and that does reduce the benefits that people are expecting when you have the largest cohort within the electorate being younger rather than older. Again, that is probably not something that's going to happen for at least the next decade. But these are all prognostications, and what we can rely on is simply what we see in the charts. And it does look like US government bond yields are going to break on the upside, that 3% is not going to represent anything other than a short-term area of support for prices, and not least because there is going to be so much additional supply coming into the market. I see that there is a that there was just a news flash going across the bottom of the screen that Apple's revenue is coming in ahead of estimates. So that should be positive for the stock market tomorrow. When we simply address the environment that we're presented by that we're presented with by the price action such as it is, the stock market is in a medium-term correction. We certainly have had a rotation. It continues to be led by technology. There are inflationary pressures and commodity prices are rising. There are pressures that are pushing up wages, and that does suggest that a higher interest rate is needed. That is going to represent a rather profoundly difficult environment for bond fund managers, and bond funds are already trending lower. And I think that some of them are in denial about some of the pressures that that they do face. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.